Welcome to the Fourth Dimension with Toby C., where participants dare to disclose bizarre experiences that occur in early recovery. The battle between good and evil, of God and of the occult. The psychic challenges we all encounter when trying to do the right thing. Now, here's Toby.
Hey, it's Toby. I'm back. Can't get rid of me. Can't keep a good mouth down. Here we are. Hey, this is our show. If this is your first time joining us, it's called The Fourth Dimension. It's a concept show. It's a little bit unusual. It's a little bit different. We talk about the antithesis of God. We talk about the antithesis of good. In the Garden of Eden, we don't talk about Adam and Eve. We don't talk about the forbidden fruit. We're here for the next hour to talk about the snake. How about that? We're here to talk about evil. And don't be disturbed if we talk about something, the opposite of a God shot. How about that? Today, I want to welcome a good friend of mine in the studio. His name is Lynn O. Welcome, Lynn. Good to see you.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Nice to see you, Toby.
And I'm glad you're here. And what we're going to do, like we do every show, is I'm going to try to take my friend on a little magical mystery tour back to the beginning of time, back to the beginning of his sobriety, to Lynn's earliest attempts at recovery, to try to open our mind up to the fourth dimension. Yeah. You know, the fourth dimension can also be described as a higher level of planular thinking. In recovery, one of the answers to the riddle of life, and in recovery, especially if you're in the 12-step movement of recovery, one of the answers to the riddle of life and recovery is, in fact, the open mind. And the fourth dimension is, in fact, a higher level of planular thinking. It's where we can take our minds out of this three-dimensional world, and we can actually visualize things that are phenomenons and that are not scientifically provable here in a three-dimensional world. And a lot of people think that God and goodness is waiting up there in the fourth dimension, rocketed into the fourth dimension. Well, I have news for you, friend. There's something else waiting for you in the fourth dimension, and it's not good. And we're going to try to open our minds to this element. It's really that simple. What I'd like to do today is Lynn's going to take us on a little bit of his history, and we're going to try to go back to the beginning of his struggle in early sobriety. We're not here to talk about the evil that lies within us all. We're not here to philosophize about whether the devil exists or not. We're not here to talk about the crazy evil stuff that we do when we're drinking and drugging and acting out and we're spiraling toward the bottom. No, that's not this show. This show is to talk about evil resistance that we all recover the moment we make a heartfelt desire to emerge from our loneliness, isolation, and suffering and get better. And the moment we try to emerge from that suffering, there's something that's waiting for us. It's waiting there to bait the trap and to spring it. Yeah, yeah. So Lynn, why don't you go ahead and take us on a little history of your memory of early sobriety and a situation or two where the trap was baited, and it wasn't from within. It was external. It wasn't a coincidence. It was not good.
Thanks, Toby. Yeah, I definitely can see existence of a baited trap. Well, I'll just start off in my early recovery. I guess I had about 9 months of being sober and doing well and feeling pretty good about my progress. We went on a family and friends off-roading camping trip. There was a lot of evening cocktails and beer drinking. I drank my Perrier water. I had my sodas and no alcohol. We're kind of in a one-horse town, just in the middle of nowhere, up in Utah. One gas station / general store. In off-roading, you drive, you've got to go fill your vehicle up in the evening. So one day after off-roading, I drove into the gas station / general store to fill up the off-road vehicle. So I went in to pay for the fuel and look around to see what groceries and supplies they stocked. Walking through the aisles, I turned down this aisle, and there were, to my amazement, and out of the middle of nowhere in this little town, three rows of any hard liquor that you could possibly want. It just jumped out at me. And
now you weren't looking for this liquor. You were just innocently going to get some fuel for your vehicles, and
that's correct, Toby. I just was investigating the store to see, you know, hey, what's in the store? We're out in the middle of nowhere.
And you'd never been to the store before.
Never had been to the store before. And so I come up, I turn the corner, and here's all this alcohol looking at me. And like I said, I'd been about 9 months, and this little voice, I kind of call it an evil whisper, leads me to think, hey, I'm in here all by myself. No one from my camping group would know if I bought and drank a little bit of liquor. By the way, everyone in my camping group knew I'd had a drinking problem, that I wasn't supposed to be drinking. And on top of that, I have a medical issue in which the doctor said I should never drink again. So I'm hearing this voice, and I'm looking at all this alcohol in front of me. Well, it led me into great temptation, and I succumbed to the temptation.
Okay, so let's talk about this moment. And we talked about this during the break or before the show started, Lynn. So, really, you know, listen, we all have temptation. I mean, we understand that. Okay,
right.
This was an early sobriety for you. You were first really trying to give this a go and not drink and everybody around you, family and friends, they were aware of this, of your drinking battle, correct?
That's correct. And right. Actually had support with these people, mm-hmm. acknowledging the fact that I need to stop drinking, not only physically, but, you know, an alcoholic state, yes.
Yeah. So there you are. And listen, it could happen to anybody. Heck, you can go to the local convenience store now, and they've got liquor and beer. You know, it's just awful. Or it's good, depending on who you are. So anyway, and there you are, and you've got this moment now where you're thinking, and the trap has been baited.
Right? That's correct.
By coincidence or circumstances, whatever. Don't call it the devil. It is what it is. But you're having this moment now, and you're thinking to yourself, what are you thinking? What are you thinking right there? Nobody will know.
Correct.
Nobody will know. And we talked about this. You know, there was a demon in there telling you this. And your ghost story involves this demon in early recovery at that moment telling you, nobody's going to know. And here it is, Lynn. If you really open your mind up to this self-talk that nobody's going to know, let's go ahead and calmly and objectively point the finger at what the demon was. What was your demon at that moment? It was the demon of unfair judgment.
Unfair judgment.
There it is. And we talked about this. And you know, it's easy to deny the hurt that other people's unfair judgment subject us to. But see, your ghost story didn't start during intervention. Your ghost story isn't about all the terrible, awful things that happened on your spiral down, okay?
That's
when you started
true.
To abuse alcohol. Your ghost story was at that moment. You're trying to get better, and you're trying to avoid temptation, aren't you? And it's there.
And it is. And I definitely felt an evil presence, something gnawing my thoughts. And I went for the temptation.
Now here's the deal. We're not talking about the evil that resides within us all. We all have evil. You know, we all have a good side and a bad side, right?
Okay. Right.
And we understand that the world is full of coincidences, and that's just how life is. And we can call these coincidences evil setups and temptation, whatever, okay?
Okay.
One man's ceiling is another man's floor. But the evil, your ghost story, like most of our ghost stories, is external, okay? Something external happened to you, okay? Something external happened to you in the beginning of your sobriety, the very first day you decided I'm not going to drink anymore. Something external happened to you, continuing to happen to you in early sobriety, and it was external. And what do you think that external demon was? It was unfair judgment, wasn't it? And it wasn't unfair judgment from within, Lynn. It was unfair judgment from outside, wasn't it?
People's viewing of my drinking and having to hide it, and yeah.
They thought they knew you, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, nobody knows everybody entirely, completely. I don't care how related you are. You know, we all have
how
our
close
little,
they are.
We all have our little insecurities, our little hurts. You know, recovery is about getting a lot of these insecurities and these hurts to see the light of day.
Oh, I agree with that.
And a lot of times we don't want to let them see the light of day. And I'm just wondering, do you think a God of your understanding, Lynn, wants you to keep these insecurities and these hurts inside so that they never see the light of day?
No, I don't.
I don't either. So if God, a God of your understanding, a loving, patient, tolerant, loving God of your understanding doesn't want you to keep these hurts and these insecurities inside, then what does? And don't say it's within. Don't say it's my insecurity wants to keep me insecure. It's something external, isn't it, Lynn?
It's like an evil force.
And call it what it is.
Yeah.
And now we're trying to put the finger on this evil force. What was the external? What was your external demon during this period? It was
other people.
An unfair judgment.
Right.
What do you think? Right.
No, I think we're uncovering a few things here. I think you're correct with that.
It's not that I'm correct. The program here, and we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to continue with Lynn about really opening our minds to the presence of evil. Evil that expresses itself in so many different forms, including in the unfair judgment of our loved ones and how they view us and try to love us if we can't love ourselves, right?
You dig that?
Yeah. All right, we're going to be right back. I'm Toby C. This is our show called The Fourth Dimension, and we're talking about evil resistance during early periods in recovery. Stand by. Be right back.
If you enjoy our message, then please visit us at itmtoby.com.
The imagination to take us places we might be afraid to go. You are entering the fourth dimension with Toby C. There is no such thing as coincidences. Here's Toby.
Better believe it. There's no such thing as coincidence. We're in the studio, live recorded with our friend Lynn O. And Lynn, here's the deal. This is not a show, by the way, about the devil. This is a show about God, okay? And let me tell you, if you understand evil, if you understand the antithesis of God, it makes God more relevant and doesn't make God so abstract. And let me tell you, friend, you know, I am, and my friend Lynn is, you know, we're both in the 12-step movement, and they have a little slogan that there is There is only one who has all power, and that one is God. And may you find him now. And I'll tell you who tries to find that power, that loving God, are people who hit their bottom, okay? And they're busted, disgusted, and nobody trusts them anymore, okay? They're done. And it's at that moment that they try to get better that something happens, you know? And it can be very, very subtle. It doesn't have to be a big, spectacular, evil upheaval, okay? It can be something as subtle and external as, and here it comes, we were just talking about this, the devil or evil or Satan using other people as a channel to discourage us. Right, Lynn? There it is.
Yeah, no, it, I feel that in trying to support my recovery and go about sobriety, maybe people's unfair judgment towards me kind of opened up a door for actually maybe, if you will, evil or Satan to use them to discourage me.
Hey, how about this, Lynn? Is it possible that these people weren't really unfairly judging you, but that it was Satan unfairly judging you? Okay, remember? The outcome of all this unfair judgment was hurt and discouragement, remember? And these people who were interacting with you, they loved you, remember?
I believe so, yes.
They didn't say these things to hurt you. They said this out of love. But it's how they expressed themselves. And it was this expression of love is where they departed from a loving God to an unloving energy, okay? You can call it whatever you want. Did you experience and feel this unloving energy that was transmuted by these people who loved you, Lynn?
Yeah, and actually it came out as more of a judgment, you know, and it wore on my soul, and I think it was, like you say, I know that they support me and love me, but the way I understood it could have been an evil force that was trying to drag me down.
All right, so Lynn, what's the outcome of this type of hurt and unfair judgment? What was your default reaction, like so many of us, to this hurt and this unfair judgment? Wasn't it to isolate? Wasn't it to push away? And to isolate,
and have resentment.
Yeah, yeah. But in your own little private area, you found your own little private space. That was that private space, that loneliness, and that isolation. Did a loving God of your understanding want you to retreat to that lonely, isolated space, or did something negative and evil want to stick you there and keep you there in everlasting ignorance?
Yeah, keep you caged in, more or less.
Was it good or evil?
It was evil, because God doesn't want that. God wants you to be open-minded, free, and not isolated.
There it is. So you isolated. That was your reaction to this unfair judgment and this hurt. And there it was. And we agree that these people didn't want to really unfairly judge you and hurt you. And give
that was
you reason.
That was not their intent.
Heck no, man. They didn't want to hurt you and drive you into loneliness and isolation, did they?
Absolutely not.
Then what did, Lynn?
Well, I would have to say an evil, an opposing factor, evil opposing to what God would want you to experience.
There you go. You know, hey, and by the way, gang, I'm going to repeat this. You know, this show is not about putting the devil at the center of this thing, okay? The devil is not at the center of faith, but understanding Satan is indispensable to understanding the mysteries of faith, okay? And the devil wants us to deny evil. The more we deny evil and blame it on him, her, it, ourselves, then a loving God becomes less relevant and more abstract. Don't you agree, Lynn?
Yeah, absolutely.
There it is. Hey, you know, don't give yourself so much credit for all the bad stuff that goes on, Lynn. It may have been something external and evil. Don't you agree?
Yes.
Better believe it. All right. When we come back, we're going to do a more recent encounter with this demon, this ghost story that continues to affect Lynn. And it's the same demon that's out there for all of us. We're going to be right back. I'm Toby C., The Fourth Dimension, Evil Resistance to Early Recovery. Coming back with Lynn O. Be right back.
If you enjoy our message, then please visit us at itmtoby.com.
Making sense out of nonsense, making you as curious and uncomfortable as possible with the truth. You've landed in the fourth dimension with Toby C.
All right. This show is about pulling the covers off the snake that's always been there, okay? That's it. You know, we're always blaming him or her or it, or we're being a little bit too hard on ourselves. Right, Lynn?
Exactly.
Are you hard on yourself or, you know?
Yeah, I am.
And do you blame yourself for a lot of mistakes and a lot of negative things that happen, like poor choices that we make?
Yeah, I think that's kind of human nature as well. But yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah. So it's very hard sometimes to really put our finger on evil or Satan or the devil or the fallen angel or whatever you want to call it when we're too busy blaming others, when we're blaming him, her, it, or ourselves, right?
Right.
And hey, gang, don't give yourself so much credit, would you? Okay. There's something else out there, and it's external. And don't get philosophical and start trying to come into contact with the evil within. Okay. There's something out there. There's a fallen angel, and I got to tell you, it is not as powerful as God. God, there's one who has all power, and that one is God. May you find him now. But I got to tell you, in early recovery. And early recovery can last years, decades, but we're talking about certainly those first few moments of desperation in early recovery where we get down on our knees and we scream out to God, God, help me. God, I'll do anything for you to lift this merciless obsession. Anything, right? Do you remember that, Lynn? Do you have a few of those moments?
Yeah, a lot has to do with... Seems like it pops up when there's family holidays or family get-togethers and it's usually revolves around them drinking and me watching them drink and having a bit of resentment towards that and then it puts me into isolation. It makes me want to retreat, and then I'm judged for that, and some of my attitudes and reactions to this, and so it's almost like the opposite of God, the evil, the devil. Is maybe channeling through some of these people to irritate me, to put me into that isolation, even though they're really not trying to. I don't think their intention is such, but maybe there's a force that's actually channeling through them.
All right, here's the deal, Lynn. We made a discovery here that your demon and your ghost story is unfair judgment, all right?
Yeah.
And a lot of us can relate to this, and I want to rewind the tape. Unfair judgment of ourselves,
okay,
leads to unrealistic expectations of ourselves. It means we're hard on ourselves, okay?
Yeah.
All right? unrealistic expectations of ourselves, okay, right, leads to unrealistic expectations of others. Hey, if we're hard on ourselves, I'm going to be hard on you.
Right.
I'm not going to give you a break if I'm not giving myself a break, right?
Yeah, it goes both ways.
So this is a sense of entitlement, especially when it comes down to the dysfunctional family system, you know, our spouse or our children, you know, people that we're really related to and tight with. We have this sense of entitlement about how we expect and want to be and should be treated.
Right.
There, right there is the demon of unfair judgment. That's the moment that we depart from the perfection of God, if you will, okay? That was the moment of departure where we unfairly judged ourselves and we moved into a place called entitlement. And then we place these demands on others, how we expect to be treated. And what often happens, Lynn, what happens quite often is we're disappointed, aren't we?
Yeah, well, definitely. And with our disappointment, in my case, it would lead me to retract, to isolate. And I think what God really wants is to forgive these people, not think about what they're doing to me, is pretty much to let their actions go, and actually just within yourself, forgive what they're projecting.
I got it. Now, never mind God forgiving people or not forgiving people. Can you forgive people? Can you become, and can I become, Lynn, an instrument and a channel for a loving God, to be open-minded and have an open heart and to be able to give people a break? And I think that's what a loving God wants us to do. But I'll tell you, something other than a loving God, Lynn, did not allow you that privilege. The antithesis of a loving God, Lynn, used these people, okay, this evil used these people as a channel to hurt you, correct?
Correct.
And this hurt was in the form of a disappointment, correct? And enough of this disappointment led to anger and a resentment.
That's correct.
And the best way to overcome an anger and resentment, Lynn, is you isolate, correct?
That would be true.
There it is. And does a loving God of your understanding want you to be alone and isolated, hurt?
No, not at all.
Hell no. No pun intended. You know, there it is. And so the demon is unfair judgment, man. And there it is. And we do agree, it's external. You know, if we can really open our minds, again, to a higher level of planular thinking, we can really allow our minds to accept the fact that these people had no control really over what they were doing or saying, okay, that they were channeled by something that was evil, and that message was meant to hurt you. It was meant to hurt you in the form of discouraging you and upsetting you, okay?
Right.
There it is.
And acknowledging that, with God's help and being channeled into engagement with my higher power, I'm learning how to cope with that and to set those feelings aside and look at it as unfair judgment and press forward.
Exactly. And what you're talking about is one of the credos in the 12-step movement. It's called love and tolerance of others is our code, right?
Exactly.
And love and tolerance, you know, happens to deal with being open-minded and having an open heart, all right? And I'll tell you, gang, stop this confusion about good and evil, okay? Stop denying the presence of evil. Be open-minded to the fact that there's evil all around us. The snake has always been there. You just couldn't pull the covers off of it and see it, all right? And now that we can see evil with our open mind, we can really appreciate the presence of a loving God.
Absolutely.
That never left us, man. He's always been there. He's been banging on the door, but we didn't answer it, did we, Lynn?
No, and there's a moment that, for me anyway, my eyes were open to that loving God. And it surpasses anything that the evil side, the devil, whatever you want to call it, would have to push your way. The presence of God in my life has definitely helped me combat whatever evil energy that tries to drag me down. And, you know, it's there. It's knocking on the door, that evil energy. But being in God's light and learning more every day about God helps combat that.
All right. So being in God's light includes being aware of Satan's darkness.
That's correct.
And the
knowing
more,
that it exists.
Well, there it is. You know, light is the absence of darkness, and darkness is the absence of light. Okay, they just don't exist without each other. It's there. It's that simple, right?
That's right.
And so, really, and I'll say it again: there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. That was one of the mantras in the 12-step movement.
Right.
And I could not seem for the life of me to really find God because I really couldn't understand the presence of evil, all right? It was just so abstract and I was disconnected from it. And I think that's why I like going to meetings. I like going to the Kinship of Common Suffering. I see the insanity and evil all around me. Don't you, Lynn?
Absolutely.
It's a reminder. I think there's a saying that every AA meeting is a reminder that God will restore us to sanity so long as we rightly relate ourselves to him, right? So long as we rightly relate ourselves to God, will he restore us to sanity. And for me, the right way to relate myself right to God is to be presence, to be conscious of the presence of evil. There it is. And man, I see these broken bodies and spirits come into these meetings. You too, Lynn?
Absolutely.
And there's evil, man.
And the meetings are really of a good eye opener for both sides, and just to find God's presence and how he relates to everybody in the meeting a little differently, but it's still a great godly power that you can walk away with from there.
Great godly power. What's the opposite of great godly power, Lynn?
Well, it's the force that can bring you down. It's
ungreat, ungodly, evil.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You know, there's not really it is a power. It's an energy. It's a vibration. It's negative. And we don't want to feel negative. We don't want to feel hurt. We want to resist it. We want to push away from it. So it's real evil for us to push and resist and turn a blind eye to evil, isn't it? And it's so convenient to blame him or her or them or it, isn't it?
Yeah, and so in a sense, you need to be forgiving, you know?
Well, we can't transmute something we haven't got. I'm so glad, as I'm sure you are, Lynn, that we're on the beam today, just for today, and we can have an open mind and an open heart. And I'm not big on the F word, forgiving people, but I can give them a break today. I can give people a break today. How about you, Lynn? Because I can appreciate and understand the concept of evil.
Yep.
That great, uses great. People.
Absolutely.
That uses people. All right, we're going to be back for our fourth and final segment for the hour with Lynn. We're talking about really the demon of unfair judgment. It's the snake. It was there. It was always there. And we're going to look at it for what it is. I'm Toby C. This is The Fourth Dimension with our guest, Lino. Be right back.
If you enjoy our message, then please visit us at itmtoby.com.
you feeling a little uncomfortable? Then you're right where you belong. In the fourth dimension with Toby C.
Like I said, we're not here to talk about happy, happy, joy, joy in recovery and all the good things that happen in recovery. We're here to talk about why people can't get better in early recovery. And the reason why so many of us, Lynn, you know, can't get better, and I know you can relate to this as can I, is because there was something external that was just kind of kept baiting the trap and we kept springing it.
Right.
And we kept blaming it. We kept blaming it on bad decisions, bad timing, you know, bad, no constitution, no willpower. Of course, we didn't have any willpower. So there it is. And your ghost story, Lynn, your ghost story probably happened like most of ours the day we were born and we just became self-centered, instinctual survivalists, okay? With all of our insecurities, and that's fine. And the one thing is, I don't think there's anything that can make a human being feel more insecure than being unfairly judged and labeled by people who really don't know what they're talking about. It's so hurtful, don't you agree?
Yeah, it's a conscious and subconscious energy that actually can keep you from growing and moving forward.
There's no question about it. I have a list of injuries that I use when I do some four-step work with guys that I take through the steps. And Lynn was looking at this thing earlier, and out of this 50 or 60 things on this list, the one thing that jumped out at you was, in fact, you know,
unfairly judgment.
There it is. So there it is. So that was your snake. It was always there. It hurt you. You didn't know it at the time, but that was your overwhelming and compelling reason to go out and get loaded every time somebody hurt your feelings.
Part of being insecure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you didn't know that these people, it wasn't them. It wasn't them. They were just being a channel of a bad message that you were taking on that was just meant to discourage you.
Right. And negative energy that had a purpose.
So let me ask you this. There's a takeaway here. Anybody who's listening to this program and you're stuck in the rut of recovery and you can't seem to get out of it, here's the takeaway that there might be a power greater than yourself right now in early recovery, and you're vulnerable to it, okay? You're vulnerable to it. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Lynn, fill in the blanks, nothing so ensures immunity against the first drink and the slip than what? Than intensive work with another suffering alcoholic or
right.
It's, drug addict.
It's almost why you go through all this pain and some negative issues and some of the problems that you go through. So you learn. And if you're open-minded and willing to let God work through you, then you can help another person that's going through the same agony that you were going through and shed some light on that and help them walk forward.
Your entire life, your demon, was unfair judgment, specifically in bold print, okay? And we all have our own little buttons, okay? All right, so there it was. And so in the beginning, Lynn, do you think it would have been more helpful in the beginning if you could have realized the demon for what it was and started working with other men to help open up their mind and to help them calmly and objectively look at the demon?
Well, yeah, of course. But I think it's a process. And once you commit to this process and start the 12 steps and learning about yourself, yes, you discover that, and having somebody like myself that has been afflicted with this unfair judgment, helping someone through the 12 steps and being able to shed a light on what I've gone through to help them.
Mm-hmm. You know, this process, the process started long before we came into recovery. It's called a rut. It's called a rhythm. It's called a routine, right?
Okay.
And this process almost killed us, didn't it? And we tried to change our rhythm, our routine. And something at the moment we tried to change this, tried to alter our process, said no. Going to keep you right here. I mean, after all, we had a lifetime of perfecting these rhythms and these routines, and our coping skills, how to deal with unfair judgment,
right?
As in your case, and all of a sudden, it just doesn't happen overnight, okay? And it is a process, but you know, the process started at the very bottom, right? Where we hit bottom, we became as open-minded to conviction and as willing to listen as only the dying can be, right? Do you remember that moment?
I do.
You know?
It's
By the way, and so does God remember that moment, and so does Satan remember that moment. There are three of you remembering that moment there, Lynn.
Right, when you completely surrender.
That's it.
And then you
and the battle's on, right?
The battle's on. You move forward, and then there's this negative weight that tries to drag you down, and you might go down a little bit, but you look to that power greater than yourself. And much stronger than the weight force.
You better believe it.
And you can move forward.
And we talked about instinctual behaviors before, remember? Whenever a human being becomes a battleground for the instincts, there can be no peace. And boy, unfair judgment by others can really affect our instinctual well-being, can't it? It can really affect negatively our instinctual needs for love. And security, can't it, Lynn?
Right. It creates a lot of insecurity.
And does a loving God want you to be insecure?
No.
God tests us, no question about it, but does God really want to keep us in everlasting ignorance and contempt and suffering and misery? I don't think so.
No, not at all.
There it is, gang. All right, listen, we're wrapping up hour one with my friend and recovery associate, Lynn. We're talking about the devil. We're talking about Satan as expressed through other people's unfair judgment, right?
That's right.
It is what it is, man. At the time, we didn't know. We just thought they were a-holes, you know? but now we're going to give them a break, right? Because we're calm and we're open-minded and we're objective and we can look at it and say it is what it is, right? All right, I'm going to be back with Lino or somebody for hour number two. This is the Fourth Dimension with Toby C. Loving it.
All right. Thanks, Toby. Thank you for having me.
Thanks again, Lynn. Great to see you. Stand by. The Fourth Dimension. Toby C. Be right back.
If you enjoy our message, then please visit us at itmtoby.com.
Welcome to the Fourth Dimension with Toby C., where participants dare to disclose bizarre experiences that occur in early recovery. The battle between good and evil, of God and of the occult. The psychic challenges we all encounter when trying to do the right thing. Now, here's Toby.
Okay, hour two with Lynn, my good buddy Lynn. Lynn, come in, Lynn.
Yeah. Hi, Toby. It's good to be back for hour two.
I'll tell you. Where we went in hour one, we're going to tell you shortly, but I've just got to give our listeners a reminder that this is a show called The Fourth Dimension. It's a concept show. I'm your host, Toby C. And The Fourth Dimension it can be considered a higher level of planular thinking. It's where we start to open up our mind beyond the limitations of a three-dimensional world, and we try to examine and be aware and recognize the appearance and the existence of things that might lay in wait for us in a place called the fourth dimension. And one of the things we're going to talk about throughout this show, like we do every show, is one of the things that waits up there in the fourth dimension may not always be good, may not always be benevolent. It may have not our best interest in mind. We're going to be talking about something called Satan or the devil or evil or a negative paranormal experience, whatever you want to call it, but we're going to call it our demon. We're going to call it our ghost story. And this ghost story, specifically this ghost story we want to examine, is the ghost story that all of us encounter in early recovery, when we're at our bottom, when we're at our wit's end, and we're on the verge of homicide or suicide, or a slow form of suicide, and we want to get better. We'll do anything to lift this merciless obsession, and something external discourages us. Yeah. And we went there. We visited this place last hour, didn't we, Lynn?
Yeah, we uncovered a lot of internal feelings and emotional feelings, and I think we kind of came to a realization for me that I'm kind of suffering from a bit of emotional insecurity, maybe afraid of being judged, mm-hmm. unfair judgment, might put a stumbling block in my walk forward.
Yeah. So really the takeaway from last hour was that we all have a negative dark side to us, and we're not here to talk about where this negative dark influence in our life happened. Okay, that's not this show. We're not here to philosophize about the negative dark elements that exist in everyday life and that we battle with today, okay? What we're here to do is focus on this little period of time in early recovery where something just kept preventing us from getting better. And the takeaway, the discovery that we made, Lynn, was that one of your seven buttons kept getting pushed. And that one of the seven buttons that we discover in a place called the fourth step, when we do the resentment inventory, it's the third column,
right.
They're called the seven afflictions of self. Your affliction, out of the seven afflictions of self, and let me name them again, there is pride, there's low self-esteem, there's personal relations, there's ambition, there is emotional security, there's sex relations, and there's money and finances, okay? Out of those seven afflictions of self, or those seven buttons, you discovered that you were most sensitive to having the button of which one pushed.
Well, I would say the emotional security.
Yeah, yeah.
And
how did this emotional insecurity manifest and reveal itself and torment you? In what form?
Well, I felt it was a stumbling block in moving forward, afraid of what other people might have to say about me. As far as being an alcoholic, alcohol was my addiction, and the fear of, I guess, being found out and talked about, you know.
There it is. You know, and when we were kind of exploring this, we kept, it almost was like you were trying to hide something, remember? And I kept trying to drag it out of you. What are you trying to hide?
Absolutely.
And we really discovered that you weren't really trying to hide anything, that you were tired, sick and tired of what? Being
judged.
Being unfairly judged. Or judged in period. Having people look at you and take your inventory and size you up and what do they say? Contempt prior to investigation, right?
Right, right.
And that was a big button for you.
It's really an accomplishment or exciting to have that veil taken off of this demon of unfair judgment, and to be able to have some clarity and know what I'm dealing with so that I can move forward.
So what Lynn is describing, if you're just joining us again, this is Toby C., and this is our show called The Fourth Dimension, where we start to look at really calmly and objectively, we look back in time at our ghost story, okay? And our ghost story, the ghost story that we're interested in talking about here in The Fourth Dimension is the ghost story that happens in early recovery, the nightmare of not being able to get better when we're absolutely at the bottom and we're at our wit's end. And your ghost story, Lynn, is the demon of emotional insecurity. There it is. Remember? Out of the seven buttons, you said your button was emotional security.
Right.
So your demon, and by the way, your demon of emotional insecurity, your propensity not to want to call attention to yourself and not to want to be judged, happened long before you started abusing alcohol and ended up in recovery. We know that. And by the way, we also recognize that this is something that you and many of us still have to live with today. And we didn't recognize it in early recovery, did we? We didn't see the ghost that was sitting right next to us that kept sabotaging our earliest attempts at recovery, right?
Right. I agree. I agree with that. And I think the point is I didn't recognize it. You know, it caused a withdrawal from within me, and not wanting to profess that I was uncontrolled with drinking and my life wasn't manageable. And so it kind of put it, like I said before, a veil over that. And I just didn't recognize it. And the fear of the emotional insecurity.
Now, from an outsider listening in, especially somebody with some time in the program, they would say that Lynn simply had a problem with the first step, making that admission that you were really an alcoholic and that your life had become unmanageable. But it was a lot deeper than that, wasn't it, Lynn?
Yeah, I was not afraid of making the first step. It was the fear of being judged for making that first step. I knew.
Judged by whom? Judged by your peers, judged by your family again.
Family, right.
Judged by a bunch of sick strangers in this room that you really didn't want to get to know any better. How about that? Do you remember that moment? Do you remember sitting in that room with a bunch of people and they're all kind of checking you out? You're trying to figure out, am I in the right place? Or something discouraged you, as it does many of us, Lynn, in early recovery. It was the demon of emotional insecurity, okay? Do you remember specifically anything that happened? Do you remember an incident in the first days or weeks or months of your first attempt that was an external incident that just sent you reeling and really kept you from committing to your recovery and your sobriety, and that kept you in half measures? Do you remember an incident, something somebody said, something that they did, the way they looked at you?
Well, and I think it actually was more with family members, watching to see if I was going to be true to this commitment or am I going to be able to not drink, and kind of looking around the corner and waiting to maybe catch me in a mm-hmm. in a moment where I was weak, mm-hmm. and I would have to say maybe that would be an incident that with family members looking over my shoulder, if you will.
Okay, so the biggest emotional insecurity that you experienced in early recovery did not come from people within the rooms, and certainly didn't come from your peers, because you tried to insulate yourself from anybody at work really knowing what you were going through. And that's fine. Okay, you wanted to keep it anonymous. It was your private battle. I get it. So really the qualifier, the button pusher for your emotional insecurity that really discouraged you from really committing to this thing in the very beginning was your family.
Yeah, being unfairly judged.
And they were holding...
By the family members, yeah.
They were holding up some bar of achievement, some morality standard, right? These are the people that were giving you an overwhelming and compelling reason to get loaded, and yet these people are holding some kind of a morality standard that they're wanting you to achieve in order for you to get better according to them.
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah, I would say that. And then
and what a contradiction. And then you're asking yourself, what the hell am I getting sober for? What's the point?
Right, and I'm watching them.
It's the pot calling the kettle black.
The pot calling the kettle black. Watching them get a little buzzed, a little dropping things, getting a little
belligerent,
and a little sloppy from being drunk, and it created an anger. Yeah, anger within me.
Well, that was a recent incident, right? But did you have these incidents way back when, in the very beginning,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, absolutely.
So nothing's really changed.
No, it's
the same dance
back
has been
in my
going
very
on.
Early sobriety, yeah.
So there it is. So,
or trying to get sober back in the early
how
days.
How interesting. So here you're trying to change your dance steps, and your dance partners, your family, they ain't changing their dance steps, are they? That they're so loaded they can't even hear the music right, and you're trying to keep. I think you guys are dancing to a different song, and it was really frustrating, wasn't it? They couldn't see, they really couldn't see what you could see, and yet they thought they could. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the dance steps with Lynn. We're going to be talking about the dance steps that we have in early recovery. Okay, and I'll tell you that our partner sometimes is the devil. Okay, our partner sometimes in early recovery, we don't even know it. It's sitting right next to us. It's evil, okay? It's some demon. It's called our deepest, darkest insecurities, and we're really trying to come to grips with them. And oh man, instincts on rampage, what? Balkan investigation, you better believe it. Hey, I'm Toby C. We're here with Lino, and this is our show called The Fourth Dimension, where we really put the spotlight on evil resistance, demonic occurrences that happen to so many of us in early periods of recovery. We're going to be right back with Lino, Toby C. with The Fourth Dimension.
If you enjoy our message, then please visit us at itmtoby.com.
The imagination to take us places we might be afraid to go. You are entering the fourth dimension with Toby C. There is no such thing as coincidences. Here's Toby.
All right. If you're just joining us, the name of the show is called The Fourth Dimension. And what we're trying to do is open your mind to things that happen outside and beyond the limitations of our three-dimensional world. And what we're right now talking about is the demon that so many of us encounter in early recovery, okay? We're not talking about the demon we're born with, or the demon that we're traumatized into having, or the demon that we still exist and that we're aware, many of us in sobriety are aware of. We're talking about the demon that we have to face in early recovery. And by the way, you know, it is external. It is real, okay? Stop blaming everything, especially in early recovery. Stop blaming everybody for your failure to get better. Stop blaming him. Stop blaming her. Stop blaming the booze. Stop blaming the dope. Stop blaming God, okay? And start putting the blame where blame is due. It's the devil, man. The devil's sitting right next to you, man. And because you're trapped in a three-dimensional world, you can't see it. And it's right there, baby. It's right there. You know, don't forget, we're the ones who cause, we make the ultimate decision, okay? We open ourselves up to evil and darkness, okay? You know, only to have the devil come in and exasperate, you know, these decisions.
It's like an evil pull. It's
absolutely. Once we start moving in that direction, Lynn, we just get pulled into it even more. And so, and we're talking about emotional insecurity. You want to talk a black hole? you know, a vortex, right? How difficult it is to get out of that, right?
It's a void. It's like a hard void to fill and battle.
Better believe it. We're going to talk about a dance that Lynn was doing in early recovery. Lynn was dancing with a demon, okay? Although you didn't know it at the time, right?
No, I didn't.
And the demon we've discovered was the demon of emotional insecurity / unfair judgment. And there it was. And despite our best efforts, we were still vulnerable to this disappointment, this hurt, this injury that people caused our emotional security, right, Lynn?
Right, a fear of being judged, and that fear can just overcome someone, and I felt like it had done that to me. It kept me from stepping forward, stepping out. I had a fear of being of unfair judgment, which led to the emotional insecurity.
Let me ask you this. We do a dance with our family, okay? Before recovery, during recovery, and after recovery, right?
Right.
It's a dance, all right? And do you think possibly when you were in your earliest days and moments of recovery that you were in denial of just how toxic of a dance you were in with your family? Do you remember that? Never mind family, you know, day at some, you know, rehab. I'm talking about really, you know, you knew you couldn't live with him. You can't live without him, you know. And did you really think that you were the one who really had the problem? Were you convinced of that in early recovery?
Well, it was hard to recognize. And when you're the person that's going through the recovery, I believe one might feel that they're responsible for all the negative energy. And
did you feel this tremendous sense of guilt and shame when you went into recovery?
Right. That's I guess that's what I'm getting at. You know, as part of the thing that wasn't clear is, yes, I did feel the guilt and the shame, but was it all on my shoulders, or was there outside people, family members that might have added to this and created this insecurity?
And looking back, absolutely, the answer is it's an emphatic yes. Okay, but at the moment, at that time, Lynn, you just didn't know it, did you?
No.
Yeah, you were feeling shame, and you were getting sober. You were getting sober so you could change.
Right.
For them, to adapt to them.
Right. I getting sober for the right reasons?
Right. And in early recovery, the idea of getting sober so we could adapt to people who were not well was just elusive, man. That was just not part of the program. We were the problem. Remember, we were blaming ourselves.
That's right.
It's getting deep here. It's getting thick here with Lynn O. We're going to be right back after the bottom of the hour. Hey, I'm Toby C. I got to tell you, we're talking about the devil that sits right next to us in early recovery, but because we're trapped in a narrow three-dimensional mind, we can't really see it. So we're going to be right back here with Lynn O, and we're going to pull the covers off the snake once and for all. I'm Toby C. It's called The Fourth Dimension. We'll be right back.
If you enjoy our message, then please visit us at itmtoby.com.
Thank you.
making sense out of nonsense, making you as curious and uncomfortable as possible with the truth. You've landed in the fourth dimension with Toby C.
Hey, don't forget that Adam and Eve committed the original sin, not the snake. But this show is about pulling the covers and taking a look at the snake. There it is. The snake or the demon or whatever negative paranormal energy is interfering with yours or your loved one's ability to get out of that rut and to stay out of that rut one day at a time. We're talking to Lynn O. And we're really mashing out, you know, some heavy stuff that happened to him in early recovery. And the fact of the matter is, Lynn, you couldn't really put both feet in, could you? You're terrified at really making a commitment to recovery because the saboteur was your family, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it almost seems, if you will, that the devil or Satan, the evil energy, used my family to be a stumbling block to not let me move forward and complete my journey into commitment to not drinking. I look back and it seemed like, over family holidays, there was like a sabotage. It's like there was an evil sabotage that would create this negative energy around the holidays and I would fall for it and I would start drinking and, thinking I'm having a good time, it's party time, let's drink, and then pretty soon I'm out of control. And then there'd be the judgment from the family that I'd have to deal with, you know.
Okay, so let me just summarize this. Your family gave you a pretty overwhelming and compelling reason to drink. In looking back now, the analysis was you had an overwhelming and compelling reason to get loaded and to drink, and it had something to do with your attitude around the holidays, all right? And right. Your family was a component of that, okay? And let's just not let the family off the hook, okay? The family was there, and they pushed your buttons, didn't they, Lynn?
They did.
They pushed your buttons, your emotional insecurities. Nobody could push your buttons more than your family, right?
And I don't think it was their conscious decision to do that. They weren't trying to do that. I think they were being manipulated by an evil presence.
Okay, well, here's the deal.
Something that could work on me.
When you had this bad attitude around the holidays and involving your family, did this bad attitude possibly open you up to some real negative energy?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. And could this negative energy that you opened up yourself to with your bad attitude involving the family and the holidays, did this bad energy manifest in terms of making the family behave in a way that was agitating and hurtful to you?
Right. It's almost like a
it was a setup.
It's almost like a full circle.
But the family didn't set you up. You set yourself up by opening up your mind and your heart to all this negative energy with your bad attitude,
right?
Correct?
They don't realize that they're setting me up. I take the bait, get set up, and it's this full circle that comes around, and then they're on me for my behavior.
Okay. So we didn't know this at the time in early recovery. We just couldn't quite figure out what was going on. But now
correct.
Looking back, Lynn, was the family possibly just being used as a channel of evil, as an instrument of evil, to hurt you because you opened up your mind and your heart to negative energy with this bad attitude coming from a place of fear?
Right. Yep. Fear is the factor.
Were you coming from a place of faith in early recovery, or were you coming from a place of fear, Lynn?
There's a lot of fear.
Absolutely. A lot of uncertainty. Were you able to commit and sit all the way down in your seat, or were you kind of have 1 foot in, 1 foot out in early recovery?
Right. Like half measures.
You couldn't make a commitment. Why? Because you're in fear.
Definitely.
And by the way, gang, if anybody's listening to this, don't crumble yourself for being in fear. Okay, we're all born that way, right? We come out of the womb screaming and rattling. We're all in fear, okay? Some of us just don't outgrow this fear for whatever reason, okay? It's called an emotional insecurity. Amen on that.
Yep.
You know? And, by the way, if you're just joining us, I'm Toby C., and this is our show called The Fourth Dimension, and we talk about evil, satanic, demonic resistance that many of us externally encounter during our earliest moments and periods in recovery when we're trying to get better. And we're here with Lynn O., talking about Lynn's family experience in early recovery and how difficult it was. And again, how the family was the overwhelming reason to get loaded, because we had a resentment, didn't we? When we did our resentment list in the fourth step resentment inventory, wasn't the family kind of at the top of the list, Lynn?
Yeah, there was a number of lists with family. Yes, definitely.
Absolutely. And by the time we got to the end of the fourth step resentment inventory, Lynn, do you remember? What did we do in the fourth column? We gave the family a break, didn't we?
That's right.
We didn't have to forgive them. We just cut them some slack, right?
Right.
Knowing that maybe, you know, they were just doing something that we were just processing entirely wrong with our attitude. How about that? So, amen on that. So the toxic dance is going on in early recovery with the family still there. They tried to do an intervention, you told me, in early recovery. I mean, you know, how did that make you feel?
Well, after one of the exciting holidays where I was a little bit out of control, they thought it'd be a good idea to maybe do an intervention and get me into some kind of counseling. And the feeling of that was, a lack of respect, and there was definitely a feeling of shame and my God, resentment of what are they, where am I going, what are they doing?
Did you feel confused? Did you feel kind of like, what the hell's going on here? Was it just a bunch of bewilderment and confusion?
Well, it was cloudy. Everything was cloudy.
Yeah. Just nothing really made sense. You're getting a lot of mixed signals. I mean, did somebody really lay out a roadmap for recovery for you in the very beginning, Lynn? Did somebody really, you know, outside of reading the 12 steps and all the literature, did somebody say, hey, listen, if you really want to be happy, joyous, and free, here's your roadmap?
No, it was thrown at me that I should, the intervention never happened. And I just said, okay, I'll go to an AA meeting and walk blindly into this. And so there was really no roadmap, no.
Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you, the intervention. Ah, boy, I'll tell you. Being judged by people who really shouldn't be judging. And is it possible, again, is it possible that your family was being used as an instrument to discourage you from getting better, Lynn?
Yeah, I think there was a manipulation, and
The family wanted you to get better. Did the family want you to die or go insane or go to prison? Of course they didn't.
Right.
Your family loves you, but they were the biggest qualifiers. So is it possible that the family was being used as an instrument of something external meant to hurt you and to keep you confused and to keep you running from unfair judgment?
Right. And I mentioned before, I don't believe that was their intentions. I think that they were being used, and the manipulation was the evil, the force, Satan, manipulating them, which kept me from moving forward.
So there it is. You know, and how difficult it is, Lynn, for us to talk about evil, Satan, demons, and whatnot, you know? It's very difficult. But I got to tell you, gang, if you are in the 12-step movement of recovery, like so many different recovery programs, it involves finding a power greater than yourself, finding a God of your understanding. And in order to find a God of your understanding, we must certainly be aware of the antithesis of God, right?
Right. There's the other side. Yes.
And there it is. And do you think, going back now in early recovery, and I know you had a real bumpy start, okay? But maybe if somebody had said, you know something, Len, the devil's just out to just ruin your life. And why don't you come join us on this broad highway, you know, where you surely cannot fail. It's a place where you're going to find a God of your understanding and come and join us. If you would have gotten that memo, could things have been different? But you didn't get that memo, did you?
No, it was not brought to my attention that way, and I didn't get that memo. I don't know if it was just the path I was supposed to follow, but definitely there was a dark side that kept me down.
And that you couldn't face, right?
Right.
Remember these two slogans in chapter 5, how it works? There is only one who has all power, that one is God. May you find him now. No human power could relieve our suffering. Only God could and would appear as sought. So we're going to talk about God all day long. Why don't they talk about Satan or the devil or the antithesis of God?
Right.
It's just not politically correct, is it? I mean, you start talking about Satan and the devil and demons, man, and people are going to think, you know, you need a 72-hour hold, baby.
It's kind of where Satan loves it, you know?
That's exactly it. Satan wants us to deny his existence.
Right.
And that's exactly where he wants us. The more we deny the existence of Satan, then the less relevant and more abstract God becomes.
Right.
There you go. And who needs to rely on God? God does not have all power. If there's no devil, there's no God. So get over it, man. You know, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get your act together. Come on, man.
Yeah. And it just keeps that cloud. The devil would like to keep that cloud so that you don't understand what's going on. That, you know, this isn't the right thing to talk about. But once you see God's power and once you see how the God of your understanding can take you, clear those thoughts from the devil and help you to move forward. He's stronger. That power is much stronger.
Amen on that. Hey, by the way, you bet. By the time you get to your sixth and seventh step, gang man, you're going to understand that there's a God who never left you. He loved you. He was always there. We just failed to answer the door when he was banging on it, right?
Right.
We failed to answer the door and let him in. Why? Because something evil, something external, wants us to always deny the existence of God by denying the existence of evil. Blame it on anything except the devil, right? Him, right. Or it,
yeah.
Or yourself. Hey, don't give yourself so much credit, Lynn. Come on, man. Might be something else here. All right, we're going to be back with our fourth and final segment of our two-hour show with Lynn, talking about the devil, evil resistance, and our earliest moments of recovery. I'm Toby C., and this is our show called The Fourth Dimension. Be right back.
If you enjoy our message, then please visit us at itmtoby.com.
Are you feeling a little uncomfortable? Then you're right where you belong, in the fourth dimension with Toby C.
Okay, Lynn. Boy, so the takeaway here, and Lynn and I both agree, and listen, newcomers, is that that there's something evil, and it's external, that doesn't want you to get better, okay? And there is something good. There's something good, and it's a power greater than yourself that loves you. And it's so tolerant and patient and loving, and it wants you to get better. It wants to keep you safe and protected, just nestled in the bosom of Abraham, okay? But there's something that wants to keep us always from really experiencing God's love and God's grace. What is that today, Lynn?
I think the key is to be able to recognize that that there is the presence of evil, to be able to see it or understand it.
Or so to imagine it. How about that? We're talking about opening up our minds to the presence of evil.
Right, right. I think in the beginning, if in early recovery, if I could have taken God more serious, if I could have opened my mind to the awareness or the presence of evil, there would have been less of a. The road would have been easier to walk and less of a stumbling block.
Do you think you would have given people a little bit more of a break and cut them a little bit more slack early on if you realized that these people just weren't really themselves, that there might be something evil going on that these people have no control over? What do you think?
Yeah, and because of understanding that and having more of an open mind, I can see our family is wonderful now. I mean, I love my family. We have a great understanding. And there's, you know, issues and times where, you know, we disagree. But that's where I give the family a break, which keeps me centered. With an open mind, the love of the family is just, things are working well. Things are working well. It's an understanding.
Yeah. And you're not out of the woods yet.
No.
You know, the family, all of us, every single day, Lynn, can become a channel of evil, can't we? All of us, every single day, can point our imagination toward the wrong objectives with a bad attitude and open ourselves up and invite the devil into our home, can't we?
That's right. There'll always be those moments and those challenges.
Right. But we don't hear about that stuff in early recovery, do we?
I did not, no.
We only hear that God could and would if he saw it, and there is only one who has all power, and that one is God, and may you find him now. But I didn't get the memo about the devil and that there's something that doesn't want us to get better. I heard it veiled as a metaphor called alcoholism and alcohol. Alcohol is cunning, baffling, and powerful. Gee, I wonder what they're talking about. They can't certainly be talking about some kind of an inanimate solution. They're talking about the devil, aren't they?
Right, that evil pull, yes.
You know, they talk about the alcohol being a subtle foe. Alcohol's not a subtle foe. What are they talking about, Lynn? What's the subtle foe?
Well, evil, the evil energy, the effect of evil in our lives and circumstances.
Beautiful. So there it is, gang. You know, you may not be powerless over alcohol. You may not be powerless over drugs. You may not be powerless over whatever obsession that you're suffering from. You know, Lynn and I just discovered that you, as we were in early recovery, you may be powerless over evil. There it is, and it's sitting right next to you. And the reason why you're powerless over evil is because we're ignorant of evil. We ignore it. We deny the existence of evil, don't we?
That's right. But there is a solution. You know, there is opening your open mind
absolutely
to God or your higher power of your own understanding.
Taking away drugs and alcohol or whatever you're suffering from in early recovery is not the ultimate solution, okay? The solution is that you, as Lynn and I have come to discover, you may be suffering from a condition which only a spiritual experience will conquer. There it is. And let me tell you, that spiritual experience is not getting locked up or having an intervention or having your booze, your dope taken away, okay? That's not what we're talking about, okay? Yeah. We're talking about really, really opening up ourselves to a God of our understanding and how much we've been denied of that. So, Lynn, if you had to do all over again, you know, what's the takeaway that you can can give to our frustrated slippies out there, our prized slippies that keep ending up in rehabs and hospitals, what they might want to consider doing different this time in early recovery that might make sense?
Well, kind of mentioned before that take this God of your understanding more serious, and have an open mind to the opposing force, that there is the presence of evil, and let the God of your understanding take you through this journey, and just understanding that there is another side to it all, that there is an evil side.
Beautiful. And there it was, open-mindedness, Lynn, right?
Yep.
I'm telling you, one of the answers to the riddle of recovery, successful recovery, and successful living is the open mind. And that's really one of the first fruits that we encounter when we really do an accurate self-survey in the fourth step and the 12-step inventories, is the four-step inventories, is we really start to pry open that mind, okay? The open mind. We become open-minded to the presence of a loving God who loved us and never left us. And we also open our mind to the presence of evil, the evil that sits right next to us, the evil that's capable of coming into our house, and the evil that comes into other people's homes when we point our imagination toward the wrong objectives, right?
Exactly.
When we open our minds and our imagination toward the wrong objectives, we invite evil in. There it is. I'm telling you, gang, this thing works if you work it. We're out of time, doggone it. But I love it. We nailed it, though, Lynn. We really
did.
That
was really. Thank you for having me. This was a great experience.
Hey, I hope you got something out of this. You know, the devil being the judge, jury, and executioner. All right. Hey, I'm Toby C. This is our show called The Fourth Dimension, and we talk about demonic, satanic occurrences that befall all of us in early recovery. There is only one who has all power. That one is God. And may you find him now. Until next time, I'm Toby C., The Fourth Dimension. Thank you, Lino. God bless.
Yep.
If you enjoy our message, then please visit us at itmtoby.com.